It's time for the Scores Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping iron man, Patrick Manley, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh boy, it was close, but no cigar for the Chicago Bears. They played a good game, and they caught the right team at the right time. But unfortunately, Patrick, not to be today.
No, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate because we were going to this game right knowing or expecting them to lose. I picked them to lose big, 41-17. But I do have to pat them on the back for their effort. And I think that's one thing we wanted to see, and we talked about that in the pregame. Of what is Coach Eberflus? Are these guys still going to buy into him? How are they going to deal with this final four-game stretch? They played their butt off. Defensively, I thought they played their butt off. I was impressed with the front four. They didn't really get to Jalen Hurts, but they caused some pressure. Had him moving out of the pocket to have some inaccurate passes. And then Jalen Johnson, what a game. What a wild game. I mean, that, unfortunately, that one throw to A.J. Brown there in the fourth quarter beats him. Had one also as well, but had some amazing plays. But overall, I was really impressed with how the defense played, with their effort, and they're just outmanned. I mean, you see that right now with when they're going against teams like the Eagles, and then we'll see the Bills next week. That talent just won today. They gave all the effort they could. I thought they played extremely hard on both sides of the ball. The offensive line struggled in the first half with giving up six sacks. Cody Whitehair had a really, really tough day. But, you know, it's just one of those games. I just pat them on the back, say, you know, it's like little brother versus big brother. You know, you're probably going to lose, but just keep fighting. And they did, and they lost. And it was what was expected. But, you know, I'm sure we'll break it down more. But it's just disappointing. I feel bad for those guys. You know, seventh loss in a row, coming off the bye again, losing another one. It's really hard. But, you know, I think the other big storyline is injuries, right? With Sanborn going out, St. Brown, Jenkins, hopefully he's okay. And
boy,
then Fields' injury and then come back.
Yeah,
it did.
Looked really bad.
Scary, Mully. So, that's kind of the way I sum it up. But it's what we thought was going to happen. But I'm encouraged with the way these guys are playing. That means to me that locker room is together and they're trying their butt off to get a win. But they just don't have the talent right now.
Right. And, you know, again, I think Mike Pennell had a really good game. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to him. We saw something from the defensive line. It's been a while. You know, Kyler Gordon, you called it. He got the interception. Congratulations. Brisker, having him back is a big deal. I thought that Jalen Johnson, that was a battle all game long. And man, did a couple of those passes, didn't matter what you did defensively. That ball was perfectly placed a couple times by Jalen Hurts, and I don't know what you're supposed to do on that. It was just extraordinary. But even though he was a 300-yard passer, he threw two picks, Hurts, and congratulations to the defense for doing that. Valus Jones fumbling on that play. I got to tell you, that it was kind of a tipping point. I don't know why, but that really triggered me just because – you had the ball in a good spot, and then you give the ball to this guy, and really, that's what you can do. That's not good enough.
No, and the coaches, I mean, it's ball security. You can't play unless you can control the ball, and he's not done that. He's shown that in the punt game, and obviously on that play, and that's his play. That's a gadget play, right? That's what he's supposedly going to be good at, and he can't secure the ball, and it's unfortunate. We also got to see Alex Leatherwood. Yep. Thank God we didn't get to see that much of him. But I tell you what. We wouldn't have Justin Fields' long run if we didn't have Alex Leatherwood because he got beat so bad. But that run by Justin Fields, man, he's just – I stood up off my couch. My daughter walked in the room right at that time, and we're like, what the blank? You know, like, holy – it was unbelievable. He's just – he's an exceptional athlete, and he's must-see TV on Sunday because something like that is always going to happen.
That was really amazing, and, you know – I felt it was ticky tack. I know he stepped out of bounds.
I know.
But come on, you know.
But I thought the announcer said it right. They're like, I just let that one slide because it was so good.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, you think about it. You have a 17-yard sack. You have him get crushed for 17-yard loss, and the ball bounces out and it's there. And I mean, it felt like that ball was unclaimed for a very long time. You get the ball back. And then he pulls off that miracle run where he pulls out of another sack and somehow gets down to the nine, as they termed it. And then a play after that, you get David Montgomery with a touchdown run. And you're sitting there like, boy, did that go from the outhouse to the penthouse. I mean, that is pretty extraordinary turnaround.
It is, and that's just Justin Fields keeps proving the Bears. I think he's going to be pretty exceptional. I mean, being the great athlete he is, he changes the game right now, and he's still not an excellent passer. There were some passes, the sideline throws, two of them. I think he missed Cole Kmet on one of the rollouts, missed. He's still got some work to do in those areas, but, I mean, the Bears wouldn't be where they are right now without him, and I think he's got a bright future, and I do like his growth. So I think this is another one of those games the Bears lose, but you're still happy with what you saw from Justin Fields and what he can become in the future and kind of what he is right now. I mean, he's a game changer right now just with his skill set that's not even perfected to be, to the level where he wants to get to probably as a passer.
It was 25-20, and, the Bears came back. They had fallen behind. I felt early in the game, Patrick, I'm sure you felt the same way, that the Bears were in such a good position to score, and you thought that they should have been up by more. And obviously, yeah, that's not just a guy missing an extra point, but I thought they should have opted for a field goal, and then I thought, and I guess they showed the kicker saying, nope, that's not my distance.
No.
And
no.
I thought they should have opted for a field goal there, so that's another 6 points, another point if you think about the mixed extra point. And I don't know. You need every point you can get when you're a team like the Bears.
Yes. And do we have a kicker problem now?
Oh, I think we must, right?
I think we do. I'm missing another PAT. That's unacceptable. What is that, number 5 on the year? What I found interesting, too, I went back during the game and looked at some other Bears tape. He missed it from the right hash. He's always been kicking from the right hash. They moved him to the middle, and he made the rest of his PATs. I don't know if that'll be something they'll do going forward, but a 48-yarder, 49-yarder, you've got to be able to go attempt that. The ball's on the 31-yard line. You gotta attempt it. I want my kicker to say, heck yeah, let me go try it. Let me go give it a go. I know it was windy, but you're kind of hurting your team doing that. You've got to say, all right, I'll take the miss if I miss it, but let me go out there and attempt it. And you're expecting yourself to make it, but it's just unfortunate. I just wonder if we do have a kicker problem. If this is maybe Cairo Santos' last year here, maybe they bring in some real competition for him, next year, or do they start bringing some guys in now? But it is late in the year. I don't know who you're going to bring in now with guys going around the league. But we might have a kicker problem. And the other thing you mentioned too, Molly, was they had 3 takeaways and only 7 points off those takeaways.
Yeah.
2 missed opportunities, the first 2, finally capitalized on the third, which is disappointing, especially with this offense. You would hope they could put it in the way they've been scoring points lately. And that hurt them, obviously, today to lose by 5.
Yeah, if you're winning the turnover battle and you're winning it 3-0 at the time, you should be leading that game.
Yes.
It shouldn't even be close. And obviously, the Bears were struggling to score, and they end up with 20 points, which is a lot against that team. But I would have to think that you felt like the defense did pretty good to hold them to 25 points, and it's the highest scoring team in the league. I think they had scored like 34 points in each of their games. The Bears, I believe, over their 6-game losing streak were allowing like 33.9. So to hold a team to 25 and a team that scores like that was very impressive. I'm not going to blame the defense. Do you wish they could have held on at the end? Yeah, of course. But the fact of the matter is that you got to score when you get opportunities. And the players on the field to begin with, we talked about it in the pregame, who's going to be catching these passes? Who are you going to be relying upon? And then immediately, you lose St. Brown and then Tevin Jenkins goes down. I mean, it felt like a game where you were challenged to keep battling away in it because of injury, because of just a disastrous turn of events for the wide receiver core.
Did you ever think you would hear Peterman to Simba Webster? When I heard, I was like, oh my gosh, we're late in the season, man.
Yeah.
We are late in the season. Yeah, that's, they're just outmanned. I mean, that's what it is right now. But again, credit to them of how hard they're fighting, but they just don't have the talent. I mean, we need an A.J. Brown. Can Claypool be like him? I want one of those. I mean, that guy – he's an animal. He's an absolute beast. And yeah, like you said, Hurts made some amazing throws to him, but he still has to make those catches, kept his feet in bounds a couple times, and he's a good player. And that's just, that to me was the difference in the game, was A.J. Brown just coming up with some of those clutch plays. But it's unfortunate, too, because Jalen Johnson had such a great game up to a point, and then those two big catches he gives up. But they were just those, you know, player on player, great against great, and the one guy won.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, you know, we all know what happened in the game, and I don't think anybody is like overly disappointed. I'm sure that the, you know, the just lose baby crowd is delighted that they were in the game and they managed to lose it. So I understand that, and I mean, obviously we've reached a point now where I think everybody kind of is gonna struggle to figure out why we're supposed to be happy if the Bears win. It was just one of those games, you know, you're playing a really good team and you came out and you played very well for yourself. You know, you really kept it close and you just couldn't find a way to get more points. You know, Justin Fields hits 1,000 yards rushing. He had 15 mm-hmm. carries for 95 yards. Just a fantastic outing in that sense. Sacked six times, you know. Maybe, I mean, listen, he was under siege, but maybe a couple times you're kind of like, you got to get rid of the ball. You can't be sacked that deep. You know, you're on the 20-yard line. Just throw it out of bounds. Don't get sacked falling backward and out of field goal range. But, I mean, you can't blame the guy that got sacked because he couldn't get protected.
Yeah, right.
And,
well,
and I wouldn't do that. I want to be careful about what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Right.
Just throw the hell out of it to the sideline. You know, just get rid of the thing.
But seeing Justin Fields back there kind of reminds me of Devin Hester as a kick returner. You remember when you would scratch your head and you're like, what are you doing running backwards and running around and all that stuff? But then he'd have the one he'd run for a touchdown. So it's kind of like, what do you want? Do you want him to continue to try to fight to get out of there and then bust a 70-yard run or 60-yard run, or just burn it? But I mean, you want both, right? You want to be the, but
yes,
there's sometimes maybe I just keep trying to get out of that pocket because you can. He showed some of the scrambles today and throughout the year that it's amazing what he's able to escape from.
And the big run that came from a sack. He was basically getting knocked in the head. You know, speaking of knocked in the head, Ndamukong Suh is a bully. And a known bully. And when Fields, like, tries to go down and this guy comes up and just slaps him in the helmet, throw a flag, will you, for the love of God? Especially when Ndamukong Suh is the guy doing it and you know he's a cheap shot artist.
Yes.
Give me a break.
I've got a Suh story for you. When we were up in Detroit, tackle happened on our sideline on a third down, and I'm running out there for the fourth down, and he's behind me and tries to push me. Like, so I fall on my face, embarrass myself. I luckily am able to hold myself while I'm falling forward. I'm able to still stay up and not fall on my face. But he's just that kind of guy. He's just in the gamesmanship and that kind of funny stuff. And I turn around, I look around, I'm like, oh, that guy? I'm like, thank God I didn't fall over, though, because that would have been embarrassing. But that's what he does. That's who he is. And you know that when you sign up and you play against him. That's just what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the officials know that as well as you and I do. And I can't understand.
Sure.
What, throw the flag just because it's him. Because don't do that, and everyone knows that.
But it's a blatant missed call. I mean, how many of the referees are looking at Justin? Yes. Everybody's looking at that, and you see that arm come across and go right at his head. Maybe he's trying to go for the ball, but not knowing what I've known of him in his past, he's going for the. He's trying to hurt him. He's trying to hurt him.
No, yeah, he's a bad guy, and that was very upsetting.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just looking through here. So the leader in receptions is Cole Kmet with 4. I believe the leader among wide receivers, this is unbelievable. Byron Pringle caught 2 passes, including the touchdown. And Simba Webster. He caught 2, like, one play and then the next play. He was targeted twice immediately, and he caught them both. So God bless him.
I guess if St. Brown's going to be out for a while, if St. Brown's going to be out for a while, maybe we're going to hear his name more often. He's going to get some more career catches, so... It is kind of it's a makeshift list. I'm looking at it right now of wide receivers. It's a bunch of 3s and 4s. And like we said, this is Velus Jones' opportunity to do something, and he might have messed himself up as well, but maybe not, because there is no depth that you have to play him.
Oh boy, they got very little options. AJ Brown, 9 catches for 181 yards, and I thought Jalen Johnson had a good game. I mean, that is insane.
It is. He was targeted 16 times. So Jalen Johnson, I think he had 3 or 4 PBUs, which is unbelievable. You'd sign up for that every week corner. But it was a great battle. That to me was entertaining football, and I thought Moose summed it up well. I'm glad the referees let them play. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some of the hand fighting and being a little more physical, because that was more entertaining for me to watch. But what a matchup between those two guys. And I thought Jalen Johnson played his butt off. He went against a great receiver and unfortunately lost two of the 16 targets I think he only faced him probably 14 of the 16 times. But that's the cornerback position, right? You know, you're not going to have a perfect game, but you gotta come back and make a play after giving up a big one.
Yeah, I mean, it was something else. I thought the opening of the second half, the idea that you let Boston Scott with the big return, 58-yard return, that was just a downer. I mean, you let up a touchdown before the half, and then you immediately come back. They got the ball, and they just marched down the field, in part because you give them the best field position anybody could want. You know, it was really rough.
Well, then the Bears, how about the start of the game? It was laughable.
Right.
Two penalties in 45 seconds, 3 in the first minute and a half or whatever it was. And I'm like, that's the bye week? That was unfortunate. But they did bounce back. They cleaned it up. They made it a game. I just wish they would have won it. I know that locker room is hurting right now with 7 losses. But, again, just like I said at the beginning of this that their effort they're playing with what they have out there, you got to give them credit for that. They're playing their butt off. They're playing as hard as they can. Just their talent level, their outman, they just don't have it to compete against these top-tier teams.
Yeah, it is, you know, it's very difficult. And again, you know, I thought even when they were having some good moments and then you see the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, able to just drop a pill, like right down to the receiver, it's just, I mean, how do you defend that? I don't know.
No.
You know, again, the guy, you know, I thought that the corner played pretty well against him, but he just was a beast. I mean,
yeah.
Good God, that was tough.
But so
nine
okay,
let's put 180 yards. Jeez.
Let's put it this way. That's what you're hoping Ryan Poles can do in the future. Find a player like that to match up with Justin Fields. And the Eagles did it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're 13-1 right now. Is Chase Claypool that guy? I hope so. We don't know. It's unfortunate he couldn't play. But that just makes you that much better. You know, I mean, he made two amazing catches that probably very few people in the NFL can make those catches against Jalen Johnson. And I'm just hoping the Bears can find one of those. Because it's obviously it showed it was the difference maker in the game today.
Yeah, and again, you know, we were kind of hoping that maybe Chase Claypool could be a guy like that. I mean, Chase Claypool's nothing like A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is a very he's a legitimate number one receiver, and I don't think you would have thought that he was going to be a guy that would be traded. You know, I think it's pretty extraordinary that Philadelphia managed to get him, but that's because they've done very well in getting other things. They leaned into developing their quarterback, and they made a huge offseason move, as big a move as anybody in the league, getting a guy like that when you already had a Devontae Smith, and they didn't, you know, they never settled for being done at any position. They just kept trying to get better. They were joking around. I think Moose was joking about Kelce. Someday he's going to decide he doesn't want to commit. They've got a draft pick. They've already is waiting behind him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to be in good shape moving forward, right? I mean, it's just the way they've gone about doing what they're doing and building this team. And frankly, you know, as much as we enjoyed the Bears playing them close and all that, that's going to be like a dynasty team potentially. Like, that's a problem. They're going to be around for a while. They are not like a totally like long in the tooth type of team. They could be good for many years to come.
No, this is what you saw a team that you want the Bears to become, right? And a very similar style quarterback and everything you're watching, you're hoping the Bears do. Build up their O-line, build up their D-line with a depth, have a stud tackle in Lane Johnson who hasn't given up a sack according to Pro Football Focus since middle of 2021. I mean, that's just, you know, you get guys like that are, you know, Kelce, one of the best centers in the league, if not the best. You know, that's exactly, you saw today what you want the Bears to be, and hopefully Justin Fields can become what Jalen Hurts has become. Jalen Hurts' numbers, besides today and his 2 interceptions, this season has been incredible. And that's, you know, that's everything you saw on that sideline for the Eagles is kind of what you want the Bears to be in the future. And hopefully Ryan Poles is like a Howie Roseman and can build a team like that.
Yeah, here's hoping. I mean, that would be
fingers
awesome.
Crossed.
I mean, I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying.
Right. We don't know. He's got an opportunity, though.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I hope you're right. I mean, you look at Hassan Reddick getting a couple of sacks in that game. That guy was a monster. He's just like he's a problem, right?
Yes.
He is a problem, and that is his third straight year getting 10 sacks plus, three different teams. You look at where he was with Carolina, or first with Arizona for 4 years and Carolina, and now with the Eagles, and you say to yourself, like, wow, you know, if you had a guy that could get 10 sacks for wherever he lands, you know, get a guy like that.
Sure.
That would be he's a hell of a player, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, he is. He's an excellent player, and, you know, it's this. They really struggled up front. They struggled with games as well, and what the Eagles did a couple times to really challenge the Bears' offensive line is lined up five down, so everybody's one-on-one. There's really no help you can get in there, and they had a couple sacks off of that and then a couple sacks off the twists and games, which we've seen the Bears struggle with that, and then last week against the Eagles when they played the Giants, they were killing the Giants with their games inside, and they did it with the Bears today.
All right, the number is 312-644-6767. Give us a call. Let's get your reaction to this game. And the Bears coming close, playing the best team in the league, very close, but unfortunately not able to get it done. And that is a 25-20 result. We'll be back with your calls. It is the post-game show. We've got the great Patrick Manley. It is Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
And now it's time for the Scores Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping iron man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is the postgame show, and congratulations to Justin Fields. The Bears lost the game, but Justin Fields became a member of the 1,000-yard rushing group in the NFL. He joins Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick, as the only other player to gain 1,000 yards rushing in a season. He hit that barrier with a 95-yard performance on Sunday. He needed 95 yards. He's exactly at 1,000 yards, and it was good to see him come back in the game, Patrick. You know, obviously that must have been a cramp as opposed to a hamstring going on him, so that's good news.
Yeah, I think that's the word, and also I think Eberflus said that Jenkins, everything seems okay right now, which is great news because that is scary. Right. You just never know. You know, whenever you see a player go down like that, you just it's you don't know what's going on. It's hard to continue a game. You just hope the best for him. You know, I saw it with Johnny Knox. That was just really difficult to see.
Oh, and God.
You think about him, and you just hope, you know, hope the best. And hopefully everything is okay. But, you know, I had a couple friends text me, like, what are they doing bringing Justin Fields back in there? I'm like, he just had the cramps. He went and got an IV, and he came back out. We'd be my guess. They're not going to put him out there if he had a little bit of a pulled hamstring. But you play the game. I mean, you get cramps, you play the game. But what I don't understand is he's had cramps two of the last 5 weeks, four weeks. I don't understand. They need to fix that one. Maybe bring Rusty Jones back and give him some more chicken broth. We used to drink the chicken broth in the cold weather games.
Was there Pedialyte all the time? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what we had all day long, all day long.
We're going to get to everyone's phone call, 312-644-6767. But I think, you know, I always try to remind people, when you talk about, like, really cold weather games, and you can speak to this, Patrick, you know, your likelihood of getting dehydrated in a really hot game is very obvious. Your likelihood of getting dehydrated in a really cold weather game may not be understood as well, but you are as likely to be dehydrated in kind of the extreme temperatures, be it extra hot or extra cold, just because of all the gear you're wearing, of everything you're doing to try to stay warm, and the way that you sweat during that sort of a process. It's not unusual to have guys get a little bit dehydrated.
And what I was told, I don't know if the science behind this, if this is true or not, but it's, you know, it's like the shivering. Your body's trying to control yourself when you're cold, that you're trying to, you know, you're exerting extra energy to keep yourself warm. So that can cause dehydration as well. I think that's what Rusty Jones told us, or somebody told me that, and I believed it. So I don't know if it's true or if it's science. So, you know, the way the world is right now, don't believe what I say because I'm not a doctor.
Fair enough. All right, yeah. Let's get to the phone lines. Chris is in Evanston. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, all right. What's going on, y'all? I really thought we were going to scrape a victory there till the end. I want to tip my hat to this young secondary out there playing outstanding. I love the adjustment. I hope that we stick with it. I think we should have been doing it a lot longer, which is take our best corner and every week put him on the best receiver. Wherever they go, you have him go. He played a great game. I mean, at the end, A.J. Brown got him. It was a perfect throw. But he played an outstanding game. So tip my hat to these young defenders out there. Got some good pressure going against probably the best offensive line in football. As far as Justin Fields, I mean, I keep saying it every week. When are we going to start throwing the ball? He's a great runner. We know that. That's established. Congratulations, 1,000 yards. Is that our game plan for the next 5 to 8 years, to have him run for 1,000 yards a year, or are we going to develop him as a passer?
Who do you want to throw to? Chris, who do you want to throw to? You watched that team. You saw who was out there. What do you want to do?
So again, that comes down to the GM. This is the product you put on the field. So is that the game plan, is to put him in harm's way? Every single rule in the rule book is designed to protect your quarterback from getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, so we're going to continue to put a game plan out there. We had, what was it, 13 points heading into the fourth quarter? I mean, it looks great. The stats are great. The highlights are great. It's not a winning formula to me. I just don't think we can have prolonged success like that. We need a quarterback that can pass.
No, I agree with you, man. But the 1,000 yards, they didn't all come off quarterback design runs. There are a lot of scramble yards, you know, so that's just him being an athlete and being able to escape the pocket with this poor O-line up front. So a lot of those yards are not designed by Luke Getsy saying, all right, we're going to have quarterback sweep, quarterback draw, quarterback power. That's him just making it with his legs. And once we get an O-line that can protect him, like the Eagles and Jalen Hurts gets, I think that will help his progress as well. And you won't have to see him escape the pocket as much and take the hits.
And I do think that they will get to that. I don't know that it will be this year. I think the plan is to develop him as a passer and to use his extraordinary athletic ability as you do so. But I think that for this year, anyway, and you said something interesting there. You mentioned the offensive line, and you didn't use a complimentary term. I think that we had been kind of like, wow, isn't this offensive line a lot better than we thought it was? Well, now you go against a team
that is
like a lot better than any, you know, you want to measure yourself. How did you do against those guys? Well, guess what? You were pretty much exposed, and you've got problems that, again, you know, sometimes you don't even know you have a problem until you find out you have a problem. And I think they've got a lot of problems on that offensive line. And I don't think that they are a top 10 unit if that's what Pro Football Focus said during the week, that they have been, you know, rising steadily and started at 32 or 31 and now we're top 10. I don't buy that.
No, I think what they've been asked to do, if you go off of the schemes and the movement passes, and obviously in the run game they've done a really nice job, and they did earlier in the year with just David Montgomery before they really put in Justin Fields' running game. But if you do the five-step drop back, three-step drop back, or five-step drop back with this offensive line, just straight up, they can't protect. They can't do it. I mean, they showed today a few times they tried, and what happened? That's when he got sacked. I mean, most of them were off of that. Most of them were off twists, and there were a few off the putting five on five. You got one-on-one blocks, and they couldn't get it done.
All right, let's try Jeff. Jeff's in Las Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Nice talking to you. Wonderful show. I just have a very simple, basis for all this. This Bears team just does not have enough studs on it. They have one stud, their quarterback. Like the Bears teams of the 80s and in the past had multiple studs, defensive line, offensive line, wide receiver, running back. This team does not seem to have that. There might be some wannabe studs, or maybe they'll grow to become studs, but right now they have one. That's a problem. The more studs, the more successful you're going to be.
You know, I think David Montgomery's pretty good, Patrick. You said something on the pregame. You mentioned you hoped he got a contract. Mm-hmm. I agree with you completely, mm-hmm. and I wish we had stopped and talked about that for a second. But, you know, he proves his value week in, week out. He had 12 carries for 53 yards. He had a touchdown. I mean, he's just a really solid, good football player.
Yeah, I think he's a complete back. I hope the market, I hope he gets all the money he can, but I hope for for us, he doesn't get priced out of us being able to afford him to come back to the Bears, because he's a complete running back. He can play all three downs. He's very good out of the backfield. He's great in goal line. You know, he's good between the tackles. He's running nice outside. He's very good in pass protection. He's right on the verge of calling, you know, a star, blue chipper, whatever you want to call it. What was it, Ernie? Of course, he said the team normal winning, or Bill Polian said the winning team needs, what, 10 to 12 blue chippers?
Yes.
Yeah, the Bears don't have many of those. I think maybe no. Jaquan Brisker can become one.
Right.
I could put him up there. Jalen Johnson is right there. I don't think he's a star, but he's like right on the verge of that blue chipper. And I think that's kind of all they've got right now. I don't know if Cole Kmet would be a true blue chipper that's a change in the game, but we talked about in the pregame that I think he's a extremely solid NFL tight end that's very versatile. That can you can use him with his hand on the ground. You can use him in motion. You can use him in passing game. But they're a long way off. Like Jeff said, they're a long way off from players of the caliber that we looked at today in the Eagles. I mean, they've got them everywhere.
They definitely have them all over the field. And, you know, David Montgomery, as you mentioned, also with three catches for 28 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So two touchdowns on the day. You know, I don't know, given how many positions they're going to need to improve, I don't know how you get better if you let a guy like that walk. And everyone's response is always, well, you know, you can get a running back anywhere. And you got Khalil Herbert, who could be back next week. Mm-hmm. I think that David Montgomery is a more complete back, and he's a heart and soul type of guy. And I mean, I don't understand why, you know, I can understand why you don't want to give him, like, a large contract, but, you know, pay him a going rate, and he's a guy that you don't have to then go replace. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, and what did he say, $125 million? That's got to go somewhere, right?
Yes.
You can't spend, it's got to go somewhere, so why not give a little bit of that to him or whatever his market value is to him to keep him around to continue growing this team. I think he's earning that, and he has in my eyes, but there's $125 million. Yeah, they're probably going to go spend a boatload on one player and then go down from there, but I think Montgomery should be in that conversation of getting a contract extension.
You know, and I always think it's a good idea to reward one of your own who's played very well for you, because it tells the other players in the locker room.
It does.
That's what happens when you commit and you know play. That guy is totally committed. I mean, that guy works his rear end off. So I would have no problem with them giving him a contract. And I understand the value of a running back as much as anyone. And I'm not saying to, you know, get out ahead of your skis, but, you know, as we mentioned this morning when we opened, Dansby Swanson has signed a 7-year, $177 million contract with the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, you don't do a lot of hitting in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball, but that guy's got some good hands and he could catch. Yeah. So they could have used him today, maybe next week.
Yeah, bring him in. Well, he might need them. Just, they might just need bodies now that St. Brown is down. He can just come in for practice. Check him out in practice. They're going to need some bodies out there.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We've got Joe. He's in Kenosha. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call. Love the show. Merry Christmas to you.
Bless you.
And you.
Hey, you know what? I sure hope they don't let Montgomery go. He's a fantastic player, and they have so many other holes they have to fill. They desperately need offensive linemen, because – when I see Braxton Jones, I mean, come on. When a defensive tackle disappears to your inside, you know that they're doing a what we used to call an end fire, where the inside defensive tackle is going to loop around the end, and the end tries to take the tackle and occupy the guard. And that's exactly what happened. Guys, that's high school stuff. I mean, if I would have done that at Gordon Tech when I played there, I would not be playing the next week. Seriously, it's ridiculous when you have a guy who's claiming, and I know they're rebuilding, but you know what I'm afraid of? You know, losing is like a disease, and once you catch it, it's hard to get rid of it. And we do have lots of holes. Gentlemen, have a wonderful holiday and love your show. Talk to you
Bless
later.
You,
Thank
Joe.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
And Joe's, I mean, they really do struggle with twists and games. I mean, it's almost it's almost embarrassing. But what's tough now is you have these young players in there, like a Braxton Jones. They have a limited amount of time during the week, during practice, that they wear pads. You've got to kind of go through those full speed. You can't just walk through them and all that kind of stuff. You can work on your footwork and steps, but it's a lot different when it's full speed and there's contact there. And you don't get enough practice right now in the NFL. And that's just the way that's been bargained, the collective bargaining of the limited amount of times with pads on. But
yes,
it's tough to learn, and they really struggle with it. And it's really bad, really, really bad. It's unfortunate, too, to see Cody White here struggle with it as well, who's somebody who's been a solid guard for the Chicago Bears for a long time.
Right. Right. And I, you know, again, I think that when you start looking at that offensive line, you got to take a very serious – you would hope that they will sign a guy and maybe draft a guy. I mean, you got to hope that they'll be able to help that position in as many areas as they can, because I don't know that you can sit here and say, well, you know, look what they have. I don't know what they have, and I don't see a lot of – I like guys that fight hard and that play hard. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're let's see what happens in the weight room in the off season. I really think that a guy like Braxton Jones, he's got to change his body. He's got to change his size and his legs and be able to hold up against those bull rushes and be able to, you know, it's one thing, the mental aspect of the game. Another thing is just being physically capable of doing what you have to do at that position. And the only way you're going to get better is by spending all your time in the weight room.
That's a big priority of his right now. He's got to invest in some sort of training system. And I don't mean like money-wise. I mean just find somebody that can make him bigger and stronger. Find somebody that can make him a better version of himself. And that is very important, because he's just got to get stronger. And what was funny is you said you like players that fight hard and play hard. I want good players that fight hard and play
hard.
Yeah,
well, that's it.
That's what
we
need. Right now, they were fighting hard and playing hard, but we need good players that do that as well.
And listen, along those lines, I really hope Jack Sanborn is okay.
Yes.
He left with an ankle, and that looked pretty bad. He was really moving poorly as he left the field and couldn't return. That kid has played his rear end off. And how about him catching Jalen Hurts from behind on that one play? That was pretty special.
I was shocked. Well, they said 4.78, 4.73 or whatever he ran in the combine.
Yep.
But some people have football speed. That was football speed.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He ran behind. I don't know if he took the angle from behind and was able to catch him and get him down. That kid plays a lot faster than a 4.7 40, and that's good for him, and hopefully he can turn that into something. But he's had a good year so far, and it is too bad to see him go down, because that's another one you want to continue to evaluate and let him grow in the NFL level.
All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to get back to the phone lines. We'll take your calls next. It is the post-game show here on The Score.
Eagles come out of the huddle. They have barely touched the ball. The Bears have also swiped him. Kyler Gordon with an interception and a three and out here today. Twin safeties back deep. Hurts in the gun. Got to keep it himself. Coming to the near side. Being chased, and he's got from behind by Jack Urlacher. That's what they've been calling him anyway. The guys in the locker room. The jackhammer tracks down Jalen Hurts from behind. A gain of 2. Second and 8.
I think we better stick with Sanborn.
Oh, that is the broadcast from WBBM. That is Jeff Joniak, who's nicknamed him the Jackhammer, and of course Tom Thayer, who didn't seem on board with it. Pretty funny stuff there between the two of them, as always. You always worry about injuries in a football game, and you see a very scary one with Tevin Jenkins early in the game. You know, it was obvious that Equanimeous St. Brown, that's a concussion that sent him out of the game. He'll be in concussion protocol. I don't know what that means for next week. And certainly the Bears are running out of receivers at breakneck pace. We don't know when Chase Claypool will be back. We know that that he was not available today with the knee injury. Him out of practice all week and in a walking boot of sorts, I guess, like a giant brace on the knee. But you see a guy like Tevin Jenkins, and Pat, I I just wonder if indeed they say now that maybe it's not that serious, and you hear from people saying that that he could be okay. They don't believe that it's related to his lower back surgery from a year ago. But the thing that, you know, when a guy suffers a stinger, right, and that's a very pleasant way of saying it, I suppose. But but when you suffer some sort of paralysis as a result of a neck injury, that is really scary stuff for a person to go through. And I remember years ago talking to Brian Cox about that. He was, I think, in Miami and suffered a really bad injury and maybe a preseason game as a rookie. And he did not have, like, big money at that point. And he spent the night in the hospital. And if you remember him, he always played with, like, a neck brace on as a result of going through that as a rookie. And he was always – it was just something that, you know, he's in the hospital and he's wondering, like, what am I going to do with my future? What will I do, you know, moving forward if I'm indeed, you know, paralyzed in some fashion? Really scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. And you just – the stingers are different for everybody. I got a funny – Roberto Garza was the guard on field goal, and I'd get him pretty bad in, like, my last year or second last year, and he'd always be like, come on, man, give me some more help over here. I'd be like, stinger, it hurts. But they do. Everybody has a different level. Some people can play through them, I think. And then what's scary, what I've seen, is that the inflammation and the problem can become more severe. And is this something they need to shut him down for the year to let the inflammation get down? So more stuff doesn't happen. I don't know. Like I said earlier, I'm not a doctor about cramping, but I just hope this isn't something that hinders his career. Like you were talking about there with Brian Cox. I hope this is just something that wasn't that big of a deal, but was scary when it happened. And you have to take precautions and do everything when that does happen. But hopefully he comes out clean, and all that's all it was just a precaution, and everything's okay that he can get back out there.
All right, 312-644-6767. Yeah, you know, it's just scary, especially when a guy has a back history, but those apparently are unrelated, so that's good news to hear. Let's try Steven. He's in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Steven, how are you?
Good, guys. I wasn't really expecting much after watching an incredible World Cup game today.
Oh, don't tell me a thing about it.
Don't say a word.
That's illegal.
All right. Jeez. Listen, all listeners that are listening to the pregame, the postgame show right now, that is off limits. Do not ruin Mully's night. Okay?
I'll just leave it at that, okay, Mully?
If anybody says it, you can never call back to the score.
I have been working all day, and I've been unable to watch it, so please.
No. I won't spill the beans, but you will love it. Anyway, so I guess if you're into the moral victories, I guess this game, again, was a decent outing. I know a lot of was made about this week how the Eagles were going to be like a blueprint for the Bears offseason rebuild, and it turned out to be, you know, really, really true. And, you know, Bears took a lot of blunt with the, you know, offensive line not able to deal with the stunts, giving up six sacks. Cody Whitehair looked like a completely shot player today. You know, the receivers, you know, Jalen Johnson did a great job against A.J. Brown until late in the game. And, you know, the Bears certainly need to figure out, you know, what to do with the, you know, the receivers. And unfortunately, because of the kicking issue, you know, with Santos, whatever he's dealing with, you know, the offensive line, Leatherwood looked like a complete, you know, a bust. You know, the shopping list just keeps on getting longer and longer as the season goes on. And, you know, watching, you know, Tristan Ebner fumbled and Velus Jones does the same thing today. It just, you know, it just depresses me. And I know Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles are doing their darnest, you know, taking trips together, you know, try to, you know, scout players and all that stuff. But, you know, like I said, the shopping list just keeps getting longer and longer. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, whatever the plans they have in free agency and the draft, they better nail this. You know, whatever they did this offseason, it's encouraging to a degree. But, you know, Jones's fumble you know, and all that kind of stuff just really taints the draft to a degree. This offseason, you know, Ryan Poles better nail this to justify what he did this year with the what could be like a 10-game losing streak tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Pat, 7-game losing streak. I don't know how you get through it. I don't know what it's like going into a locker room. I don't know how you keep your spirits about you. It's just a sad reality.
It's difficult. It's really difficult. But again, I'm impressed with how the team played today with their effort. You know, he's building a culture. He's building a brand. He's building a standard there. And it is hard to go in there on a losing streak. It is hard to go in after losing tough games like that to continue to prepare and go out there every Sunday and play your butt off. And it seems like everybody on that team is playing hard. And I know that, you know, it's, people don't want to hear that because you're losing, but that is part of it. You want to see if he can build his brand and his standard and keep it there. And guys are playing that way. We saw it today. They lost by 5 to the arguably the best team in the NFL. And they played hard. I mean, that's the only way they stayed in that game, in my opinion. And that's encouraging to see. I think what the staff is doing right now with these guys is encouraging, but there are a lot of holes. And let's just hopefully we don't have a kicker hole as well.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And I think that is the reality of the league, is that you don't even know what holes you have. And they could be bad holes. I mean, you know, when you're in the midst of this sort of a rebuild where you're kind of stripping it down and you're going to start from scratch, it's a fair point that to say you feel good about the middle linebacker, you feel good about a few members of the secondary, but you don't really feel good about anyone on the defensive line. We saw Mike Pennell for the first time. You saw a player that took advantage of an opportunity on that defensive line. We haven't seen that yet, and I mean dating back to when they traded Robert Quinn. You know, we just haven't seen any sign of improvement from that group. And today, you have one guy that had a pretty damn good game, and it changed things a little bit. You get one or two guys stepping up, that changes things a little bit.
Yeah, and guys like him, they're playing for roster spots to potentially come back to be on the Bears roster for training camp next year.
Right.
And that's another reason why you're going to see guys play with effort and go out there just because they're professionals and they want to continue playing this league and they know they're putting tape out there, not just for the Bears, but everybody else. But he did. He had a good game. He hasn't had a great year, but he had a darn good game today. And I was impressive. And it's good to see guys. Like I said, it's good to see guys still playing that hard and being able to have a game like that it shows because they're willing to put that effort in and put the time in to study and do everything during the week.
And Jalen Hurts had a good game, and he had 17 carries for 61 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, they do a great job on the goal line stuff. He had 315 yards passing. He did throw a couple of picks, but the Bears actually sacked him. That happened. I saw it. But he got hit a couple times.
He
got crunched one time, and then he had a big man kind of land on him another time. And that's a little scary if you're an Eagles fan watching that game. They were in a much tougher game than they thought they were going to be.
That's the physical part of the Bears, what the effort they were playing with. That's exactly what it is, because you go back and watch some of the tape of Jalen Hurts, and they talked a little bit about it in the broadcast, that he doesn't take the big hits. He does a good job of sliding. He does a good job of getting out of bounds and just avoiding something like that. But that's credit to the Bears and how hard they were playing. They were hitting and playing hard. I mean, that one, who was it, Joe Thomas?
Yeah.
Faced him up and just, oh, that was impressive. That's a clinic hit.
Yeah.
That's what you put on the clinic to show a 10-year-old how to tackle somebody. Head up, facing the chest and driving back like that was outstanding. That was a nice play.
It was a crunch, too. It was like as loud as the doink, for God's sake.
Yes. Oh, God. Fox did a nice job with that, replaying it and putting it with the – not the doink. The doink was what the doink – I hate the doink, the sound of a doink.
The double.
But when they cut right to that play right again and so you could hear it again, that was a nice job by Fox. That was fun. I was like, that's
– yeah.
I love the cracking of pads. That was great.
Oh, God, you could – yeah, it was really something else. Let's get back to the phone lines. Mike is in LaSalle. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
We're good.
Well, Pat kind of stole my thunder there. I was just going to say, you can tell these guys aren't giving up. You know, they're still playing hard. And we didn't have hardly any – you know, I don't even know who receivers played today. And, you know, I mean, our top guys were out. We hung in there with, the best team in the league. But we haven't been blown out really this year. So at least we have the effort there. You can tell these guys aren't quitting. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
It's funny. It's just that this to me, when I got here in Chicago and we weren't very good, and you know, it was like, all right, we might be losing, but let's hurt them. Let's get after them and hit them hard And that's just kind of the Chicago way, and that's the way they play today. They played with a lot of effort. They hit hard. They tackled hard. But again, we keep saying it over and over. They're outmanned. It is what it is. But it's encouraging to see how hard they played, and they played. They didn't give up. You know, when the Eagles came down and scored, they didn't give up. They went back down and scored and made it a 25-20 game, and that's another good thing to see.
And, you know, we mentioned it in the pregame. It is just a very weird reality that the Bears are now 0-9 coming out of a bye week,
yeah.
And that dates back through various administrations, I believe. Tressman, Fox, Nagy, and now Eberflus. That, you know, that's got to stop. I mean, you can't have a week off and then come back and lose. I don't care if you're doing something completely different or not. It speaks to kind of the disappointment that your football team has been when you can't win. I think it's partly a measure of talent, you know, partly the fact that they've struggled at the quarterback position, partly coaching issues, but it's great to see him try, and partly opponents, right? We know three of those were you know, the Green Bay Packers, but I'm glad that they played hard. It is, you know, we are giving away kind of, you know, moral victory bouquets. That
100%.
Is. You know,
we're getting to that point. Yeah, we are, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's sad. I mean, that's not the NFL. So I think that you got to keep that in mind a little bit. But that's a weird reality.
The 9 in the row, Mully, that's a wild stat. That's a really wild stat, especially when you go through Nagy, who had some decent years, right? He had some talent on that team. He had a very good defense for a couple of years, and they couldn't do it either. It's a shocking number. It's just a weird number, and I want to go back. I might actually go back and start looking at all the opponents, who they played, what their records were, where they were injury-wise, who played for the Bears. But it's just an odd stat, and it does need to stop, and hopefully it does next year when hopefully the future Bears are being built.
Yeah. I mean, you start looking for common denominators in that, Patrick, and ownership, team president, you know, it's different general managers, it's different coaches, head coach. It's hard to look at that and say that there is one reason for it other than some organizational problem.
It's true. I mean, that's why we've had so many coaching changes, so many GM changes, and that's why we are here where we are right now. Maybe now that Ted Phillips is retiring, that it won't happen next year. Maybe it's him. No, I'm
well,
just kidding.
I don't think it's Ted, but I don't even know who's replacing him yet. Have they brought you in yet? No?
No. They don't talk to former players.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
They just offer you $5 an hour.
Oh, that's beautiful. Let's try Michael. He's listening online. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, that's a couple of things. I know another one of them close losses, that's what they do, right? The same formula. But I'm going to ask you this question. Okay. Does Santos have a job next year or even this year? And Bayless Jones, 3 drops this year cost them games so far, right? 3 of them?
Well, you know.
I mean, he did fumble two balls cost him a game. Today he fumbled again. And one more thing. As far as that's concerned, why was on that last play, Jalen Johnson, right? Why was he not on number on Brown? Because Brown, to me, Brown got the best on the deep ball. So why was he not on him on that last play?
That's a good question. I thought the same thing when I saw that. I don't know, and I'm sure our reporting staff will probably ask that, because he was following him the entire game. I don't know if it was a formation thing. I don't know what it was. I don't know why. That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a good one. And let's keep it going. We've got Greg? I'm sorry. Greg's in Chadwick. Hey, Greg.
Hi, guys. This is mainly toward Patrick. Everyone was talking about the Bears need to be real aggressive today, and for the most part they were. But my question is, at the end of the first half, the Bears had the ball with 18 seconds left, and Fields just kneels it down and runs a timeout. Why wouldn't you try not a Hail Mary, but a deep pass.
Yeah, but what I'm okay with that. I understand it, but I'm okay with that. I think it's just kind of situational football that, you know, you could be aggressive and try that, but what are your chances? I think you're just done with the half and you move on. Some people might have different philosophies on that, might be more aggressive, but me, that's what I saw when I saw him doing it. I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it looked like they were ready to get to the half and kind of regroup a little bit. And, you know, if you think about it, before the Bears kind of eliminated whatever chances they had defensively with around the trade market, they were doing pretty well earlier in the year of getting to the half and making adjustments. I think they even bragged about some of their defensive adjustments because it meant teams weren't scoring touchdowns against them in the second half. Now, I don't know that there's any adjustment you can make when you're kind of down players as much as they are. So I think that at that point, they just wanted to try to get out of the half and not make any more errors. And, you know, I'm sure
and they were backed up too, right? Weren't they backed up on like the 20-yard line? So that's, you know, an 80-yard touchdown is just
– Yeah, it's a bit much.
And one thing today, which I noticed, and I don't know what you thought, is that Alan Williams dialed up the blitz a lot, especially on third down.
Yes, he did.
And I think maybe we are going to see that more in the future and just say, all right, DBs, try to make a play on the ball with more one-on-one coverage back there. But I thought I saw a lot more pressure there, and it worked out for the most part. And obviously with Jalen Johnson having some PBUs early off that, which was very impressive.
And a lot of games and stunts, it looked like, early in the game. They were filling up the rushing lanes, and they were doing different things that I don't know I've seen them do before.
Yeah, and that's encouraging. So that's maybe one of the adjustments they decided to do and just say, all right, you know, we'll see what they do against the Bills. Maybe it's just an Eagles game plan thing, but I liked what I saw, and they executed it pretty well. I mean, holding them to 25 points, an Eagles team who's leading the league and scoring, that's not a bad day.
All right.
Not good enough.
We've got to get to a break. We will be back with your calls. 312-644-6767. Are you pleased with the result? Are you disappointed by the Bears stacking losses the way they have? And do you see it ending at any time? I mean, the Bears are probably more likely to lose out than not at this point, if you're being fair in your assessment of what they look like and adding some injuries to that. Very curious to know what people think of that fact. 312-644-6767. It's the post-game show on the Score.